Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen, and you can track us down at reallifepharmacology.com. Definitely go take advantage, sign up, and snag your free 31-page PDF of the top 200 drugs where I lay out really real-world important pearls with each of those drugs in the top 200. So great little resource there if you're studying for any, you know, board exams or anything, pharmacology classes, anything coming up there. So go snag that at reallifepharmacology.com. All right, so we're going to get into it today, covering Prasugrel. Brand name of this medication is Effient. And this medication is classified broadly as an antiplatelet agent. A little bit more narrowly, it is a P2Y12 inhibitor. So P2Y12 is actually part of ADP receptors, and those receptors are found on platelets. So to have its antiplatelet activity, the drug binds to that P2Y12 part of the ADP receptors, and ultimately this inhibits the function of the platelet to be activated and to bind and stick to other platelets. Okay, and what that's going to do is play into the fact that this is going to inhibit platelet aggregation and help prevent blockages within vessels. So the primary indication here for Prasugrel, you'll see it used in acute coronary syndromes where patients are undergoing PCI and they've got stents and things like that. So STEMI, non-STEMI, unstable angina, those are examples of, you know, varying degrees of heart attacks, basically, where we've got blockages in the vessels there. And this antiplatelet agent, often used in combination with aspirin, is going to help prevent another blockage from occurring. So let's talk about adverse effect profile a little bit. The biggest thing with this medication is bleed risk, and that's pretty blatant, pretty obvious. Anytime you thin the blood, you're going to help with preventing blockages and blood clots and things of that nature. However, you are going to increase that bleed risk, of course. So I kind of try to think about patients that might be at a little bit more of an increased risk. Patients with renal disease, for example, they, you know, may have some alterations in concentrations of this drug a little bit. Liver problems, patients already maybe have a little bit of trouble with their clotting cascade. They may be at a little bit more increased risk if they've got significant hepatic impairment there. Also, if you've got a patient with a past GI ulceration history, that it's maybe unknown or we don't have an exact cause, they may be a little bit more prone to something like that. Obviously, Prasugrel, along with any other antiplatelet agent, could potentially exacerbate that. A few other things as far as using this medications and medication and things to think about. So patients who have had a TIA or stroke in the past are actually at a little bit higher risk for complications, bleed, intracranial hemorrhage, things of that nature. So Prasugrel specifically is recommended to be avoided in that patient population. So in that setting, you're probably going to look to another antiplatelet agent, another P2Y12 inhibitor. Another patient population, Prasugrel shows up on the BEERS list. And again, that's due to bleed risk, but specifically, BEERS list is a geriatric criteria, meds to try to avoid. Specifically, they say greater than or equal to age 75. If patients in that age group, they probably are at higher risk for complications from bleeding. So definitely remember that one as well. Surgery, very, very important. Anytime you've got a medication that can interrupt platelet activation, clotting cascade, you've got to remember that patients who are undergoing surgery are going to be at risk there. So, you know, most situations with prasugrel, you're looking probably at that 5 to 7 day period for being off the medication. Again, this is a clinical judgment as far as invasiveness of the surgery versus the risk of somebody having an event if they come off of that medication for a period of time. So kind of a lot of clinical judgment in that surgical space as to whether to hold the medication or whether to continue it. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and then we will wrap up with drug interactions. MedEd101.com is proud to sponsor the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. If you're looking for resources on clinical pharmacy, practice pearls, as well as board certification study material, definitely go check out the growing list of resources at MedEd101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. Recently, as of producing this podcast, we've got updated content for BCPS, BCGP, ambulatory care certification, as well as the MTM certification there as well. In addition, if you're a pharmacy student, go check out our NAPLEX resources at rxgrad.com. Drug interactions with prasugrel are pretty simple, pretty straightforward for the most part. So common sense tells us if we've got patients on any medication that's going to thin the blood, so let's say some of our newer anticoagulants, warfarin, aspirin, NSAIDs, those are all examples of meds that are going to potentiate that bleeding risk. So very, very important to go through that medication list. Ask about over-the-counters. So important to do that. Many patients take ibuprofen, they take naproxen. Really got to pay attention to that and make sure we aren't putting them at increased risk of bleed when we're using these antiplatelet medications with NSAIDs there. One last drug interaction I did want to mention that's, you know, a little bit controversial as to how much of an effect it has, but morphine has often been referred to being used in ACS, at least in the past. This medication, morphine, can potentially reduce the effects of prasugrel. So it may inhibit that antiplatelet effect, which obviously could put our patient at risk for more negative cardiovascular outcomes. So morphine in general, you know, is typically avoided if possible in the setting of acute pain due to ACS. But it's important to remember why it is avoided there. And certainly we've got plenty of risk with opioids in general. But the added effect of potentially reducing the effectiveness of that prasugrel is an important thing to note there. So really, morphine reserved generally only if patients are in severe pain in that setting of ACS or associated with their acute coronary syndrome. One other thing I did want to mention, specifically with clopidogrel and prasugrel. So clopidogrel, you can go listen to the previous podcast on that. It is in the same class of medications. And they're often or can be substituted for each other. In one situation, I've definitely seen prasugrel substituted for clopidogrel is in the situation where we know we have a patient potentially with genetic variations and or drug interactions by CYP2C19. Okay, so if you've got genetic variations, CYP2C19 is very critical to clopidogrel because that is the enzyme that clopidogrel is activated by. And if we don't have that enzyme, or it's not functioning properly, or it's being inhibited by drugs, we have the potential to lose that effectiveness of clopidogrel. So just wanted to point out that situation, that scenario, where you may see prasugrel preferentially used over clopidogrel, even though it's more expensive and other things, and has some of those risks that I talked about as well earlier in the podcast here. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. If you enjoyed the show, if you found something beneficial here, definitely leave us a kind rating review on iTunes. Those are all greatly appreciated, or wherever else you're listening. So appreciative of all the kind reviews thus far. Share us with a friend, colleague, email list that you're a part of. Definitely trying to educate as many healthcare professionals as possible about the importance of medications, medication management, and of course, pharmacology as well. Thanks for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.